Hare Krishna. I welcome you to Babulnath Mandir, a very ancient temple where Lord Shiva has been performing his pastimes. As both a Lord of the universe and an unparalleled servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavanam yata sambhu. Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies Lord Shiva as the greatest of all Vaishnavas. He is Mahadev, the greatest of the demigods. Although he plays the role of a demigod, he is beyond the demigods. He is actually a manifestation of Lord Vishnu, who plays a particular role in the Lord's universal creation and beyond. Sri Advaitacharya is declared by the scriptures to be both an avatar of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, the original Shiva of the spiritual world. His mood was that of compassion for all the fallen souls. Just like when the universe was threatened by that deadly poison that was churned from the ocean of milk, the sages, the rishis, the devatas, they saw that all life was threatened. There was no antidote for that poison. It was spreading so rapidly. There was no power that could contain it. So they approached Lord Vishnu, who was the ultimate and only shelter for all living beings. Lord Vishnu loves to see his devotee glorified. So he sent them all to Lord Shiva. Hearing the plight of the great souls and understanding the will of the Lord, Lord Shiva took it upon himself to drink the entire massive quantity of poison. He concentrated it to such a vibrant potency, then consumed it. Srila Prabhupada writes, the greatest service that one can render to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to accept difficulties, to show compassion to others. Because the Lord is all merciful. In the spiritual world, Krishna is Rasa Bihari. He is simply enjoying. There's no compassion. There's no need. Everyone is simply enjoying. There is compassion, but not like this world. Krishna is giving the highest ecstasies to every living being. And every living being lives only to give ecstasy to Krishna. But this material world is a place of forgetfulness of God, a place of so much suffering. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhavati bharata. Therefore, Krishna comes again and again. All the great scriptures of the world are simply about the incarnations of God, either his direct incarnations, or his Shaktivesh incarnations, or his incarnations in the form of his devotees who are spreading his word. But all the great scriptures of the world are for this purpose, to describe how the Lord comes to this world to protect his devotees, to reestablish real principles of religion, and to annihilate the miscreants. In other words, the reason the Lord comes to this world is to show compassion. It's his only business. He doesn't have to come here to perform his pastimes. He's already performing his pastimes in Goloka, in Ayodhya, in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual worlds. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears with his Goloka Vrindavan and his most loving associates to display the pastimes of the spiritual world, just to attract our hearts to get out of this world and go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna does not display his pastimes in this world to make this world a better place. Of course, if people follow his message, the world will be a better place. But the world is only really a better place when everybody is making arrangements to get out. This world is not different than Vaikuntha to the extent everyone is trying to go to Vaikuntha. There can be real peace on earth if we have our mind fixed on going to the other world and live according to those principles. But that peace is within, because externally, even in Satya Yuga, Hiranyakashipu was running around. Hare Krishna. What to speak of Kali Yuga? So Krishna comes to this world. It is his mission to show compassion. Therefore, in the spiritual world, the devotees, the greatest service to the Lord is simply to love and serve Krishna and Sri Radha according to their particular eternal spiritual nature. But in this material world, the greatest service we can do for the Lord is assist him in his mission. And in order to assist him in his mission, great difficulties will come. And to endure those difficulties, to show compassion to others, is what captures Krishna's heart. We find in the lives of all the great acharyas how many difficulties they endured. When we were in South India, we heard about Sripad Ramanujacharya. People were trying to kill him. He had to hide in exile. Some of his devotees, they were killed. Their eyes were plucked out, blinded. We read about Lord Jesus in the Bible. He and his followers, so many difficulties. They could have just stayed in a little cave in the desert and prayed to God and be peaceful. What was their problem? They were preaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many difficulties. When they were doing kirtan in Srivasangam, local Brahmins were blaspheming them, threatening them. The Chankazi was sending his soldiers to beat them, plunder them, punish them. But Lord Chaitanya kept telling him, go out. Do Harinam Sankirtan. Tonight I will come with you and we will have procession to Chankazi's house. Let us see what he does to me. And we find with all of our acharyas so many difficulties. How Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, death threats, rejection from Goswamis of Vrindavan due to their smarta conceptions. And Srila Prabhupada, many difficulties, heart attacks, unqualified disciples, Mr. N here in Bombay, who was trying to destroy all of his plans to build a beautiful temple. There was so much struggle to build the temple in Mayapur, so much struggle to build the temple in Vrindavan, and most struggle to build temple in Bombay. Wherever Prabhupada went, there were so many struggles. Compassion. So this was the aspect of Lord Shiva in Advaitacharya. When he came to see the suffering in Kali Yuga due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he understood that only Krishna himself could give them love of God. He spent years fasting, performing tapasya, offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water to his Shalagram Shila while loudly crying out for Lord Krishna to appear. Foremost of Brahmins. Why? So much he endured. Why? For us, for you and me. And the amazing thing about Advaitacharya is it wasn't just people who were hungry and in poverty and disease that he was praying for. He was also equally or even more, he was praying for people who were in a bigger illusion, who were farther away from Krishna. The Brahmins, the scholars, the wealthy people who were so proud that they couldn't take the name of Krishna seriously. Even the people who were attacking him, he was praying for them. His best friend was Haridas Thakur. In Fuliyagram, Advaitacharya arranged Haridas a nice cave to live in because he knew that Haridas liked caves. And it was right there in that village where Advaitacharya made the arrangements for his residence that Haridas Thakur was arrested and sentenced to death by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. And they did it. They beat him. And it appeared that he died. But then he rose from the dead. And he came right back to preach to those people. this is service of the highest standard. It's very rare. And the whole while he was being beaten, he was only praying, Lord, please don't think that I'm being inconvenienced by these beatings. Please don't let any karma come on them for what they're doing to me. Forgive them. Give them love of God. Give them Vaikuntha. This is his compassion. He's Lord Brahma. And his best friend, Sadashiva Mahavishnu, Advaitacharya, he's screaming and crying for years doing tapasya. Krishna, come and give them love of God. Advaitacharya could have given them all liberation. He could have just taken a Sudarshan Chakra. Lord Shiva's the destroyer of the universe. He could have just danced one time and liberated, given everyone mukti. Yeah, I've seen him dance. But he wanted them to get Krishna praying. He wanted them to get the love of the gopis in Vrindavan. That was his compassion. And it was for that that he prayed for Radha and Krishna to appear in this world. Yes, we can understand how dear Srila Prabhupada is to Krishna. The extent of Prabhupada's service from Krishna's perspective. And therefore we feel completely confident that however way he wants, if we can simply assist him, there is no better way for us to render service to Krishna, to please Krishna, become dear to Krishna. So today, Sri Babulnath Bhagavan has given us entrance into his abode in Chopati. It's very nice that he's next door neighbors with Radha Gopinath. It's a very excellent neighborhood to live in, actually. Just like in Vrindavan, Lord Shiva is always residing very close to Radha and Krishna. Gopeshwar Mahadev is just next to Radha Govinda temple, just a 5-minute walk from Radha Gopinath temple. Yes? So here also, only 3-minute walk from Radha Gopinath. He's been waiting for hundreds of years for Radha Gopinath to come. Of course, this is my interpretation. But Lord Shiva knows past, present, and future. And for him, 1,000 years is not like our 1,000 years. He, on this mountain, he made his abode. But he knew in the future. He knew in 1987 Radha Gopinath would come to be his neighbor. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a beautiful story. It's a long story. But in essence, Lord Shiva took the side of Sudakshina and Kashiraj, his son, yes, to fight against Krishna, who was living in Dwarka. Lord Shiva also fought against Krishna and to assist Banasura. Yes? Another time, with Kashiraj. At that time, Lord Krishna very soundly defeated Lord Shiva and chastised Lord Shiva. Why are you taking the side of my enemy to fight against me? Why are you empowering my enemies to fight against me? I don't think anyone hates me as much as you. Now he's the greatest Vaishnav. He said, my Lord, he said, Krishna, please, I love you. You're my life, my soul, my everything. Whatever, I'm surrendered to you. Whatever I did is because you wanted me to do it. You made me do it. I have no separate interest than you. But please understand, Krishna, that I have all this bad association. You made me Bhuteshwar, the Lord of the Bhutas. I need your association, my Lord. Please give me your association. Give me a place where I can always live close to you. So Krishna gave him a benediction. Just near the ocean, I am residing as Lord Jagannath, with my brother Balaram and sister Subhadra. And just close by, as my neighbor, you will be Bhuvaneshwar, the gateway to Puri. Is Bhuvaneshwar. And there we will always be close to each other. And that will be my great pleasure and your great pleasure. In 1971, Srila Prabhupada was just at the other end of this street at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. And coming down the steps after his lecture, where dignitaries were present, Srila Prabhupada told his secretary, Shamsundar Prabhu, and there were others present, he said, this is such a good place for preaching. We should have a temple here. That was 1971. I think Babulnath was really excited when Prabhupada said that. It was coming closer. It was coming, the time was coming closer. And then, like puppets in the hands of Srila Prabhupada and Gopinath and Radharani and Lord Shiva, somehow or other, the devotees came together and put Radha Gopinath. Radha Gopinath made their abode. Just 3-minute walk from Babulnath, together again. It's a very auspicious pastime, and we are all very grateful to be a part of it by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Vaishnavas love to associate with one another. And the Lord loves to associate with his devotees. And his devotees love to associate with the Lord. Bhakti, in essence, is all about association. Bhakti means relationships. Developing our relationship with God and serving according to our relationship with God. Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika. The best way to please me is to serve my devotees. Lord Narayan told the Prachetas, I have appeared before you and will bless you with all benedictions simply because you have such friendly relationships with each other in service to me. It's a very high principle. On this day, let us offer our heartfelt obeisances to Sri Bhuvaneshwar Dev and pray to him. Following in the footsteps of the Acharyas, for Krishna Prem. In Nandagaon, there was disturbance because Nanda Maharaj was the king of Braj, Brajendra, but he had no children. Parjanya, his father, was performing puja along with son to Lord Shiva to give Nanda Maharaj a son. And the same deity that he worshipped is on the top of the mountain in Nandagaon, Nandeshwar Mahadev. He was prayed to and worshipped by Parjanya and Nanda Maharaj for Nanda Maharaj to have a child. But it wasn't like a parent praying for a child. Their mission was to have Krishna as their child, to deliver the world. In Kamyavan is Kameshwar Mahadev. Brishabhanu Maharaj in Kirtida prayed and worshipped that deity of Shiva to have the Supreme Goddess of Fortune as their daughter. And their prayer was fulfilled on the day of Radhastami. So yes, we find great personalities of our Vaishnav Sampradaya worshipping Lord Shiva with the proper perspective. Not for material benedictions. Not for mystic powers. Ravana worshipped Lord Shiva at Gokarna to get powers to attack Ram. Hare Krishna. And there are others too. We don't want to worship Lord Shiva for our own material purposes. We don't want mystic cities. We don't want material benedictions. We do not want even liberation. He is Mukteshwar Mahadev. He gives liberation. But even though he's Mukteshwar, devotees don't approach him like that. They understand there's only one mukti that is good, and that is love for Krishna, Krishna prema. That is the supreme mukti. And in Vrindavan, he becomes Gopeshwar Mahadev. Greatest fulfillment of all his desires is to take the role of a gopi. Lord Shiva wanted to be to experience what the gopis were experiencing. So he approached the gopis to ask how. And he was told there is a place called Mansarovar, which is a lake filled by the tears of the love of Srimati Radharani. Go there. Take your bath with the prayer of rendering service in the mood of a gopi. He prayed. He performed tapasya with the prayer of being able to serve Radha and Krishna with the intensity of the love of a gopi. That was his highest aspiration. Not to live in Kailash, but to live in Vrindavan. And when he bathed in the ambrosial tears of Radharani's love and separation from Krishna at Mansarovar, he came out of the water with the form of a gopi. And Radha father, and Krishna gave him the service of guarding the Rasa Lila just near Bamsivat, where he is performing his pastime even today as Gopeshwar Mahadev. So this is what Lord Shiva wants. He doesn't want material things. People are asking him for a good house, but he's living on Mount Kailash without a house. People are asking him for a nice car, a Mercedes-Benz or a Toyota. But he rides a bull, Nandi. He can easily ride a Mercedes-Benz if he wants, but he rides Nandi. He doesn't want any of those things. What does he pray for? He prays for the Bhava Gopi. He prays for Krishna. And that's what he wants to give to us, because he knows that's the only thing that will make us happy. So let us pray that following in the footsteps of the great souls, we can dedicate our lives to be the instruments of the compassion of the great souls in a spirit of love for Krishna, for Radha Gopinath. And that we can create a society of devotees who are spiritually strong with loving relationships, so that we can actually attract the unfortunate people in this world to the pastimes of the Lord. Today we have three of my dear God brothers. I'm so grateful that they have come. Dear God Brother Ramakeli Prabhu, we could speak about his unbelievable history of devotional service for a long time. Maybe someday we will. But he's just such a wonderful soul, such a dear friend. Fearlessly, he has been a great book distributor, preacher, amazing kirtan leader. He's preached throughout America, Africa, parts of Europe and India, his wonderful children who are excellent devotees, and he's just such a pleasure to be with. But most of all, he loves Srila Prabhupada with his life and his soul. Let us welcome His Grace Ramakeli Prabhu. May Lord Shiva's blessings be upon you. And we also have Yadubar Prabhu, who we all know. How can we introduce him? He lived with us for almost a year, right in our temple. But I would like to say, last night at Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple, we didn't get back till midnight, but he played the preview of Following Srila Prabhupada, a DVD series where he has taken all of the footage of film that was made of Srila Prabhupada over the years. Most of it was in very poor quality. And with great efforts and the best possible technology and very, very hard work, he has made it as fine a quality as film as could be made, both audio and visual. And much of the film, there's no sound. It's just Prabhupada performing his pastimes as the world acharya. He had this brilliant idea. And when you have an idea That's only the beginning. To carry it out is a great labor of love. He traveled all around the world to wherever wherever Prabhupada was in that footage. He went to those places, found out the people who were there at the time, and had them narrating the pastimes of Prabhupada and their experiences with Prabhupada at that place that you're seeing. Ramkeli Prabhu afterward, when he saw some of the people that were there giving narrations, he was shocked. Some of these devotees have not been seen by other devotees in decades. Where do you find such people? Some of them are even hiding. But Yadubar Prabhu searched them out. And because Yadubar Prabhu is so totally unpolitical, well-wisher of everyone, wherever he went, people were happy to just speak of their love for Srila Prabhupada. So in that silent footage, you're hearing what Prabhupada, as you're seeing Prabhupada in Australia or London or Vrindavan or Bombay, you're hearing from the devotees who were with him right then and there at that time of their experiences and their eyewitness account. It's beautiful, beautiful. But several Prabhupada disciples were there last night and they were simply overwhelmed. Narottamananda Prabhu was saying that these disciples of Prabhupada, in a short time, they're not going to be in this world anymore. But this first-class footage of Prabhupada and the memories of what Prabhupada did, speaking, being spoken simultaneously by these devotees, will remain forever by Yadubar Prabhu's great labor of love. He didn't make money on it. He spent money on it. Practically everything he had and more, he sacrificed for that. He wasn't getting paid for it. He was paying to perform his service. It took him years. And he's still working on it. And wherever these previews are, and wherever devotees see it, the same reaction. Tears in the eyes. Thank you, Yadubar Prabhu. That is the reaction. Weeping in gratitude toward Yadubar Prabhu. Let us welcome him home to Radha Gopinath Temple. Dear godbrother Soma Das Prabhu, such a moonlight devotee. Srila Prabhupada said that, yes? He gave him the name Soma Das, and everybody wondered why he gave him the name Soma Das. And Prabhupada said, because you are moonlike. Soma Prabhu, he joined in Boston with Satsarup Goswami Maharaj. And I think in 1970-71, and he served as a Sankirtan devotee distributing books. Later came to New Vrindavan, and he was the main person who was doing carpentry. One of the main people doing the buildings of the projects. He and Gosta Bihari Prabhu were in the winter. The snow and ice and winds just picking up big, heavy cement cinder blocks and putting them down and cementing them down. Very difficult. Comes from a very cultured family. But yet he was just doing his, just as labor of love. Whatever was necessary, he was willing to do. He was not an artist as far as a sculptor before, but when there was a need for sculpturing, he learned sculpturing, and he sculpted Jai and Vijay, Lord Narasingadev, Sitaram, Hanuman, Prahlad Maharaj, Lakshman, cows, calves, bulls, elephants, practically all the special features of New Vrindavan were made by Soma Prabhu. But he's just, for those of you who have heard his Srimad Bhagavatam classes, you can understand his heart. He's just so sincere in his desire to love Krishna and the devotees, and so enthusiastic for devotional service. And I've been watching him since he's been to India. He's just so appreciative of every moment and everything. Let us welcome Soma Das Prabhu. And we have Mahaprabhu and Prabhu, who happens to be sitting in that line of great souls. Who has been selflessly serving Srila Prabhupada's mission since 1979. Yes? 78. Without a microphone, we all heard him. Prabhu, Prabhu, in his car preaching center, where Radha, Vrindavan, Natabar are present. He has been continuously maintaining that program since 1979. That's before many of you were born. Every Friday night, there has been a program there. Since 1979. At times hundreds of people came, at times nobody came, but still he continued on. He and his good wife, Palika Devi. Something very wonderful. But a great climax in his life is about to take place. On March 10th, 2007. His son, Giri Govardhan Prabhu, will be getting married. And he's so anxious for his son and daughter-in-law's spiritual welfare. He's begging all of us to shower our prayers for the blessings of Babunath and Radha Gopinath. So let us make him happy by expressing our prayers for blessings by loudly chanting Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Radhe Shyam Prabhu, our illustrious temple president from Radha Kunja Bihari Temple in Pune, has brought 150 youth to Bombay specifically for a question and answer session. Let us welcome them to Babunath Temple. So now the introduction is complete. and we will begin our class. Is there any questions? Radhe Shyam Prabhu, you can select who. You can sit here, and you can select who will ask the questions.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. Maharaj, in the morning I was telling that until and unless there is some very heavy predicament, we don't feel the intensity to take Krishna consciousness seriously. But then, like in our life, like we seem that you know things are moving quite like routinely, nicely. So how to feel that intensity to practice Krishna consciousness very like intensely?
Generally, a devotee knows what is required. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a very, very difficult crisis to take seriously. Because the nature of Maya is to influence us to procrastinate what we know we should be doing, or to do it in a half-hearted way. Srila Prabhupada writes in these purports that we've been reading every morning that the purpose of life is to take shelter of Krishna. That's the all in all. That's the only thing we're supposed to do in this material world, is take shelter of Krishna. Everything else is only to facilitate doing that. But what does it mean to take shelter? You can't take shelter unless you feel you need shelter. And what does shelter mean? When it's the monsoon rains, you want the shelter of a roof. Yes? Because you know what it's like if you don't have that. In the cold, you want the shelter of heat. In the heat, you want the shelter of something cool. When you're starving, you need the shelter of food. When you're thirsty, you need the shelter of water. And to the degree that we're thirsty, we take shelter of water. Otherwise, we just drink it. We don't even think about it. Yes? Krishna says, I am the taste of water. If we just go to somebody's house and they give us a cup of water as a matter of Vedic custom, we just drink it. But are we taking shelter of it? If we take shelter of it, we'll taste Krishna in it. Because Krishna is the taste of water. But if you're really, really thirsty, if you're doing Govardhan Parikrama in the summer, and you go all the way around without a drop of water, and you're breathing in all the dust of Braj, Haribo, and you're on the verge of passing out due to dehydration. If someone gives you a glass of water, it's not just... It's... Krishna. You taste Krishna. The same water is there. The same process of drinking is there. But because there's a desperate need, you're taking shelter. Otherwise, you're just doing it unmindfully. Similarly, sometimes we chant our japa unmindfully. We come before the deity and we say a nice little prayer. We perform our service with negligence, without a focused mind, without taking shelter. So dangerous predicaments, difficulties, and there usually have to be difficulties beyond our capacity to control. Because if you have the capacity to control it,
you'll take shelter of the process of controlling it. Yes? And that's our human nature. When something comes upon us and we can somehow or other make it right, we'll just put all our energy into making it right. And somewhere in the side, we're taking shelter of Krishna. But when it's revealed to us, there's nothing we can do. It's in the hands of God. Then we raise our arms very high. Now, one of the good things about material existence is you know it's going to come, these crises. Even if it's not coming, you know it's going to come. So if you know it's going to come, then you could start taking shelter right now to prepare for it. How many of you are under the grand illusion that your body will never grow old, get diseased, and die? How many of you are certain that it will? So even if it's not happening now, you need shelter now to prepare. Just like when you're in school. It's a crisis when you have to take an exam. Yes? Because that exam either means you pass or fail. You win or you lose. Your future is dependent to a large extent on this exam. Especially 10th standard exam in India. So it's not that you just, well, I don't have to go to an exam today, so why should I take shelter? Why should I study? Because you know it's coming, you prepare yourself. So we know it's coming. We know, padam padam yadvi padam natesham, at any moment anything could happen in this world, to anybody, whoever you are. So with that information, with that knowledge, we understand it's coming anytime. Let me prepare. I'm helpless when it comes. Let me prepare now and take shelter. But that's all for neophyte devotees. An advanced devotee takes shelter of Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. Not because we're afraid. A neophyte devotee takes shelter because we have some fear that without Krishna we're finished in every way, spiritually, emotionally, materially. Our spiritual life can be taken away at any moment by Maya if we're not taking shelter. Srila Prabhupada taught us. He said, in Boston, Somadas Prabhu quoted, he would sit in front of his little brass rod of Krishna deities and tell, I am simply praying that they will protect me from Maya. He was taking shelter to show us. But actually, on a more advanced platform, we're taking shelter of Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna, as an expression of our love for Krishna. What Srila Prabhupada taught in Krishna consciousness, the ends are the means. By taking shelter of Krishna, we get shelter of Krishna. And when we get shelter of Krishna, we continue to take shelter of Krishna out of love. So when things are going nice, just be a little realistic. It will not continue. This is not pessimistic. This is optimistic. I would be the greatest, most cheating pessimist if I said everything going good will continue. Because then you'll never surrender to Krishna. You'll never go back to Godhead. But by telling you it will not continue. But there's a higher world, there's a higher realm of experience than just things going nice in this material world. Going nice in this material world means a little drop of water is nicely sitting on a lotus leaf. That's all it means. Kamala dala jala jivana tala malav. It's gone. Vajahure manas. Therefore, with our mind, we want to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna by taking shelter of the holy name. You can also answer them. Since the microphone is in your hand, you can read them and answer them.
Maharaj, we see that Srila Prabhupada and his disciples and so many acharyas were ready to follow the order of their spiritual master simply by once hearing them. For example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati ordered Srila Prabhupada to distribute books and Prabhupada followed it. But in my life, that determination and gratitude to follow and to take the instruction seriously and apply it, and that is not very firm. What must be done to become sincere to just follow?
To follow. By following, that is an expression of our intent to be sincere. And Krishna reciprocates and gives us that genuine sincerity. Whether we feel it or not, we follow. The great souls follow with spontaneous love. Raghunuga Bhakti means a spontaneous, natural exuberance to follow the order of the spiritual master and to serve Radha and Krishna. Sadhana Bhakti, and specifically Vaidhi Bhakti, means we do it as a tapasya, even if we don't feel like it. The order of the spiritual master, I may have no enthusiasm, but as tapasya, I do it with the same enthusiasm, at least externally. We express the same enthusiasm as someone who's doing it out of love. Because we know this is the process of gaining that love. This is the process of purifying our life. Following the spiritual master in the beginning stages may be tapasya, but we do it anyway, wholeheartedly. And that is how we attain the higher stages of bhakti. Bhajana Kriya. Yes. Since you have microphone, you can give your own commentaries also.
On to the next question, Maharaj. Can you please explain the importance and seriousness of initiation?
The importance and seriousness of initiation is not simply the ceremony. The ceremony is the formalization. But there has to be something of substance to formalize in order for it to be real. Real initiation is of the heart. Real initiation is the intent to accept the order of the spiritual master as the life and soul. To accept the instructions of the spiritual master as our priority in life. To have the willingness to follow the four regulative principles, even under difficulties or temptations. To have determination not to give up the instructions of the spiritual master. To chant 16 rounds minimum every day, knowing that out of mercy, it's the best thing for me and it's the way I can please my Guru Maharaj. Initiation really means I want to love Krishna. I want to become purified. And I have faith that the instructions and the inspiration of the spiritual master will bring me to that place. When we have that faith and that intent and that determination, then we're initiated in heart. And the ceremony is important because when we take vows, those vows make it very evident to us how important it really is for the rest of our lives. Then we understand it's a serious offense for me to change my mind. So the ceremony is good for us. And it is that formal connection to the parampara. But really, the essence of the connection is our faith, our determination, and our intent to follow. That is initiation. And the spiritual master, on behalf of the parampara, is not only speaking instruction, but giving us access to the mercy of the flow of all the previous acharyas, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and ultimately Sri Sri Radha and Gopinath. Their mercy is flowing through the parampara, and that connection is giving us the full access to that mercy. To the extent we open our heart to receive it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Maharaj. In the morning class, you were saying that we have to take Shikshashtakam as a standard while performing devotional service. We practice, and if we are not able to come to that standard, we get frustration. Or we find something wrong is going on with me. So how to take it?
It's good to find things going wrong with ourselves, because then we can try to fix it. Shikshastakam were the only contribution of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his own personal handwriting. How important it is. And it's all teaching us the proper method by which we could chant the holy names. All the books of Srila Prabhupada and all the books of all the great acharyas, in one sense, are simply expansions of the Shikshastakam verses. In one sense, we can understand it that way. They're all teaching us how to come to that platform of Ashlisya va padaratam panashtuma madarshana marmahatam kuroti va yatatata tapitatatu lampato matpurananatastu sa eva napura. Krishna, if you want, you can embrace me. Or you can trample upon me. Or you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. I'm your servant. You can do anything you like with me. My service is unconditional. That is love. That is the pure consciousness of chanting the holy name that the residents of Vrindavan possess. And every verse of the Shikshastaka is gradually leading us up to that platform. So yes, it is very much a guiding light. Therefore we chant the Shikshastakam verses every day. And how to keep that always as a guiding light? It's simply a matter of being sincere. Striving for selfless service. Striving for humility, striving for tolerance, striving to be respectful to all, striving to really, really chant the holy name in a spirit of purifying our heart. Essentially, what it means is our priority in life is to prepare ourselves to chant Hare Krishna in a way that will really please Krishna. That's all. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Andyata. The only way of attaining Krishna's love in this age is through the holy name. Srila Prabhupada and those who are repeating his message are teaching us practically in our life how to have a disposition where we could chant the holy name in a way that Krishna is pleased with our efforts. That's all. Whatever is favorable for that, we should accept. Whatever is unfavorable, we should reject. By chanting our rounds nicely every day, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day, the focus is always there with us. And most of all, avoid committing offenses.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, how do I know that I am receiving the mercy of my spiritual master? In spite of many efforts, still I commit offenses in my mind. How to overcome these?
We know we're accepting mercy when we're following the instructions sincerely. If you take the proper medicine, you may or may not immediately feel the results, but it's working. Because the medicine is the right medicine. So when we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, we are receiving the mercy. The mercy is in the instruction. Receiving it means to follow. What was the second part of the question?
The offenses, the commit offenses in my mind.
The nature of the mind is to commit offenses in the conditioned state. Don't worry about it. Just don't understand what Gita says, that the mind that is offensive is your worst enemy. The mind that is glorifying the Vaishnavas is your best friend. The mind that is criticizing the Vaishnavas is your worst enemy. So yes, you have an enemy, still an enemy. You can't deny that, but you don't have to surrender to your enemy. If you surrender to the enemy, you'll be destroyed. So do not give in to those temptations. When the mind tells you to criticize a Vaishnav, your intelligence should tell you, say something good about that Vaishnav. When your mind tells you to watch television during japa period, your intelligence should tell you, just go to the temple and chant japa where there's no television. In other words, the mind will be presenting so many offensive things, and our advancement is to the degree we say no to the offenses of the mind and yes to the order of Krishna, Guru, and the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. So in one sense, when the mind is offensive, it's a good opportunity to prove our love for Krishna by saying no. But you can't just say no. That's the problem. Because if you just say no, the mind is going to get you. You have to replace it with the opposite. Krishna consciousness is the art of replacing the negative with the positive. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, many times, owing to one's impersonal nature, one may be finding it very difficult to develop good relationship with many Vaishnavas. He may be satisfied with just knowledge of the process and doing his own services. How to rectify the situation?
A service attitude is required. We want to have nice relationships with devotees because it feels good to me. That's such an important thing, that it feels good to me. And if it doesn't feel good to me, then it has no value to me anymore. That's not a service attitude. Service means extending ourselves for the pleasure of another one. We have good relationships with the Vaishnavas because it gives pleasure to Krishna, even if it makes us miserable. We'll have a good relationship because it gives pleasure to Guru and Krishna. Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you have good relationships with each other and cooperate. So we'll do it for a higher purpose. Materialistic people, they do it because I'm in the center. Krishna consciousness means Krishna's in the center. And saying Krishna's in the center is not a cheap thing. It really means I put my own desires and feelings in a secondary position and put in the primary position what Guru and Krishna want me to do. Guru and Krishna want me to have good relationships with the devotees. It doesn't matter how I feel. It matters how they feel. That's called a service attitude. And that is how we make spiritual advancement. To the degree we have that service attitude, we will make great advancement in spiritual life.
Maharaji says, sometimes I feel good to do some services, and I don't feel good to do other services. How can I give up this discrimination?
Listen to the answer to the previous question.
Maharaj, what is the actual meaning of taking association? How to always take association of great souls or devotees very, very seriously?
To be enthusiastic, to hear from great souls, to render some service to great souls, and to share what we receive from great souls with others.
Maharaj, he says, I pray to Krishna to give me taste for service to him so that I can leave any other taste for material things. Is this good or is there a better prayer? He's saying that he is praying to Krishna to give a taste for serving him so that he can leave any taste for material things. So is this a good prayer or is there a better prayer?
It is a very excellent prayer.
Maharaj is asking, how can we develop the prayerful mood?
By praying. Srila Prabhupada taught us we should study the prayers of great personalities as they are in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Study the prayers of the great personalities, what they are praying for, how they are praying, who they're praying to. And then from our own hearts, we should pray following in their footsteps. But we should pray.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, how can we distinguish between feeling humble and inferiority complex?
Inferiority complex?
Yeah. Inferiority complex.
Oh.
And feeling humble. Oh. What is the difference between the two?
Ayi nanda tunu jakin karam patita mam vishame bhavan vado kripaya tapa padak ankaja stita duli sadri sambhichintaya. Lord Chaitanya is praying to Krishna, that I'm so fallen, please pick me up and let me be eternally a speck of dust under your lotus feet. How many of us really want to be a speck of dust at the feet of Krishna? That is humility. Inferiority complex is simply frustrated false ego. Humility is without false ego. There's a very, very big difference. When you really want to be big and recognized, but you're not getting it, your false ego is being smashed. It's being frustrated. It's starving to death. Then you have an inferiority complex. I'm useless. I'm nothing. When a person who wants to be someone great in this world says, I'm nothing, they're suffering an inferiority complex. When a person who wants to be a speck of dust at Krishna's feet says, I'm nothing, that's humility. So there is a big difference. Humility means without false ego. Inferiority complex means big false ego that's starving and frustrated because it's not getting what it wants. Hare Krishna. Humility means we don't want anything except to be a speck of dust at Krishna's feet, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. Krishna is great. I'm small and I'm happy. Happy to be in that position.
Maharaj, how can we involve in managerial services in the mood of a servant, avoiding dominating mentality?
It's very difficult. Management is a very dangerous situation. But it has to be done. But first of all, to be a good manager, you first have to be properly managed. Yes? Srila Prabhupada said, the qualification of a guru is he's a good disciple. We're not controller. We're servant. Our only position, Mahaprabhu described, is servant of the servant of the servant. If we manage somebody thinking, I am superior to you, we're an illusion. We're fallen. Management means, I'm your servant. I'm not your master, I'm your servant. Everyone who you are managing is Prabhu. And I'm Das Das Alu Das. That's the way a manager must think. Otherwise, it's an illusion. It's going to make all kinds of offenses. More managers fall down than rank and file devotees. Hare Krishna. No, I'm not trying to tell you not to take management. But we should do it properly. It's very important. We're nothing but a servant. Everyone is Prabhu, even if you have authority on someone. It's in the spirit of serving that person. It's in the spirit of being an instrument of my higher authorities to serve this person. It's not my position. I'm not a temple president. I'm a servant of all the Vaishnavas. But the way I'm doing it is in the role of a president. I'm not the Sankirtan leader. I'm a servant of the Vaishnavas. But the way I'm supposed to serve is by being a Sankirtan leader. By all means, if we have a service attitude, we will never make offenses. Never. Impossible. If we have a proper service attitude, even if we make an offense, it will be a slight offense that will not be held against us. We only make serious offenses when we are proud, when we are envious, when we want to lord it over others. Is that answer your question? Would you, temple president, would you like to give your own realization? How is it that you can be president and still look like a little boy who's just innocently chanting Hare Krishna and serving all others?
Whenever I feel proud, I think of you, Maharaj. Immediately, I'm forced to become humble.
What he's saying is, when he thinks of me and he sees how dangerous false pride is, he becomes very afraid and becomes humble. Why nobody said anything when I said that? Anyway.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, what pleases you the most? What do you want your disciples to do to please you?
Make Srila Prabhupada's mission your life and soul. And to do that, take shelter of the holy names sincerely. Be humble, tolerant, respectful. Develop wonderful relationships with each other. And have tremendous enthusiasm to serve Prabhupada's mission. To help to create unity and happiness within Prabhupada's society through this process.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, how do we balance between overcoming our anarthas by sadhana and trying to help others to overcome their anarthas? It always seems very challenging. Most often, I tend to take to one extreme or the other.
We must hear every day by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, by hearing devotees in the classes or in discussions discussing Prabhupada's books, so that we are always aware of what the anarthas are. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when you're a gardener watering the seed of bhakti, in the beginning stages, weeds could look just like the flower or the sprout of the seed. We could be putting the water on the weed and neglecting the seed with the intention of watering the seed. In fact, it's inevitable, unless we hear very careful, regularly, we will 100% without question water the weeds, the anarthas. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, read my books regularly, otherwise you will fall down. Because Maya is very, very vicious and very clever. All the cleverness in all material existence is coming from Maya. How clever is Maya? And she's full-fledged, right in your own mind. Hare Krishna. It's quite dangerous, is it not? That's the reality. She has, with all her potencies, her presence in the mind of every conditioned soul, which includes you and me. And she is going to try to redirect our intelligence and put a haze on our power of discrimination to put water on our weeds. Therefore, we must understand what the anartha is, what the bhakti lata bija is, and we must be careful to follow the order of Guru and Krishna. That is the first thing. Hear regularly. In the association of devotees, so you know what is what. Maya means that which is not. The weed is not the seed. That which is not. In our practice of devotional service, we can be praying and chanting our rounds for some mundane position, for some power. We We could be motivated by envy, by pride, by greed, by anger, by illusion. We will be, unless we're reading, hearing, understanding, no. And if we're in the association of good, strong devotees, they're going to tell us, no, not like that. You're in Maya, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Directly or indirectly. Sometimes devotees are not so bold, they'll say, you're in Maya. But in class, they'll be talking right to you. And everyone may hear the same thing. So we must attend these classes. We must read. We must be eager to hear. We must be aware of the danger of these anarthas. We must starve those weeds. And we must put the water on the real creeper of devotion. Trinarapi sunichena turor ibasahishvana. Amadina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Chant the holy names in this principle with enthusiasm to serve. And the bhakti-mata bij will flourish and the anarthas will dwindle. One more question.
Maharaj is asking, while I am struggling with my own anarthas, is it honest on my part to instruct my younger ones or juniors to give up the same anarthas? Because a Vaishnava is supposed to be honest. Is it not hypocritical?
Read again.
He's saying, Maharaj, that while I'm struggling or working on removing some of the anarthas in my heart, is it appropriate for me to instruct juniors to give up those anarthas? Is it not hypocritical?
It is not hypocrisy. It is the process of purification. To preach to others, the process of giving up anarthas is part of the way of us giving up our anarthas. It is hypocrisy if we are deliberately not following ourselves. But if we are struggling and we are trying and we are preaching that same message to others, that is perfection. That is the path of perfection. Srila Prabhupada was eager for his disciples to preach. Even when they were only devotees for 1 or 2 months, even 1 or 2 days. He was sending devotees who just started chanting Hare Krishna and following the regulative principles and hearing, and all they had is the first set of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was sending them to open centers in distant places and to preach. And he guaranteed them they would be fully empowered. And some of them made dozens and dozens of devotees in flourishing temples. Why? They were simply repeating the message. Not that I'm preaching to you to give up your anarthas. Srila Prabhupada's preaching. I'm just the postal peon. I'm just giving the message. I'm not better than you. I'm worse than you. But I'm just giving you the message on behalf of Gurudev. If we're intentionally not following, or unintentionally in one sense, if we're not following, that's hypocrisy. But even if we're a 1-month-old devotee, if we're following the regular principles, trying to chant the holy name sincerely, and repeating the message as a messenger, we are empowered to help others tremendously. And that is not hypocrisy, because we're trying ourselves to do what we're asking you to try to do. If you're trying to do what you're asking other people to try to do, it is not hypocrisy. If you're not trying, it is. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. We would like to request Ravakeli Prabhu to speak some words to enlighten all of our hearts.
try to speak after you, that's a tall order. To try to speak after you, that's a tall order. Actually, Maharaj is making a lot of very, very good points. Mm-hmm. The same points that Srila Prabhupada, you know. That one has to, you know, very seriously try to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. It's not it's not a difficult thing if we actually have the desire. The most thing is actually the desire of the living entity. You have to figure out, why are you here? You know, why are you coming? You know, or why are you in this material world? What is it that you're actually looking for here? But we should be looking for the association of advanced Vaishnavas, association of the pure devotee, and rendering service to them and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. It has to be 150%. With everything you have. I always think of that statement on the back of the O Nectar of Devotion. It says, as a young boy is attracted to a young girl, and a young girl attracted to a young boy, then let our intensity for loving Krishna be the same. We should actually have that same intensity. The same intensity that we're actually chasing materialistic life, we should have that same intensity on chasing the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You'll see that actually that Prabhupada, he somehow or other, you know, beyond our control, as one devotee was stating in the film that we watched last night, and without any ability on our own. That actually what you must realize is that everything is the causeless mercy of the spiritual master. Causeless mercy of Krishna and causeless mercy of the Guru. Without that causeless mercy of Krishna, you cannot get the Guru. But with that causeless mercy, you can get Guru. And by the causeless mercy of the Guru, he will give you Krishna. So we must actually understand that very, very intensely. It's not by some people try to talk about Sukriti. Well, actually, when we came in contact with Prabhupada, we had no Sukriti. Whatever Sukriti we have is actually given by him. You know, whatever qualities that we actually have, or whatever ability. And we can see that many different times that actually we didn't have any ability to do anything. But somehow or other, by the mercy of Prabhupada, all of us ask, okay, well, how will we do such a thing? We're watching in the film where the devotees are saying they're sitting in the middle of a rice field where there's nothing but a hut or a couple of huts, Prabhupada's hut and the devotees living in one hut. You know, but he's telling us to build this big temple in the middle of nowhere. Well, how are we going to do that? And always, Krishna will help. But by the desire of the living entity to actually serve, these things actually manifest. First by Krishna's desire, then Guru's desire, then the desire of the disciple. The point is that actually, do we want to please Krishna? Do we want to serve Krishna? And if that's our desire, then actually everything is possible. Everything is manifest. I remember when I came here the first time, it was the end of 2001, 2002. And we were discussing about this place. Now I come back as totally different and being transformed at every second. You can see that everything is just like manifesting more and more. And I remember speaking with Maharaj and him telling me about the beginning when he was here, almost practically speaking by himself. But out of his desire to serve, then actually things begin to actually happen. And no matter how great the struggle may be, if we just keep going and says, okay, no matter how much hard time I'm going to get, I'm going to still serve my guru's order. We're going to still serve Prabhupada regardless to what happens. And that's, you know, and actually if we make the guru's order the ultimate goal of life, then that's actually our saving grace. If we just make, just say, okay, no. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to serve him regardless. And that was the first thing when I saw Prabhupada, we were discussing this in Mayapur, that I wasn't so convinced by the association of all the devotees. I've always been a little critical. But I wasn't convinced. But I had traveled all the way to California. But Prabhupada was coming to Chicago. And I said, well, actually, I have to see Prabhupada face to face. And when I see Prabhupada face to face, I know whether I'm going to stay in Krishna consciousness or whether I will leave. And I jumped on the bus and rode for 3 days in the summer from California to Chicago. And the day came that when Prabhupada pulled up to the temple and I saw Prabhupada get out of the car, just like the devotees explained, just uncontrollable tears just flowed from my eyes. My body has pretty big, most people, you know, but actually I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't stop the tears. But I understood then, here is the messenger of God. I know this is a fact, and I will serve him regardless. No matter who stays or who goes, I will always render service to this great personality. Because I understood that actually, he was actually my Lord and Savior. Then and there, on the spot.
Thank you. You are amazing. Yadubar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for your very kind words. And especially welcoming me back home to Chaupati, Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. I was telling my dear godbrother that it is like coming home, coming back here. I know there are many youth here today, and something that I've learned over the years in Krishna consciousness is that patience is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. Because when we're young and enthusiastic and even determined, sometimes we lose our patience. These three are all necessary, as Rupa Goswami has mentioned in Nectar Devotion. Sometimes that we become impatient, especially the Western culture has inculcated this in our very being, not to become very patient, to do things very quickly and get quick results. The Krishna consciousness, actually Srila Prabhupada mentioned many, many times, is a gradual process. He's mentioned this many times. And the culture of Krishna consciousness is so important in this regard because it can carry us for many, many, many years and even lifetimes. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasized the culture of Krishna consciousness. He actually said the West will be conquered by the culture of Krishna consciousness. So in that regard, you are most fortunate in India. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us, and in fact, it's also in his books, that a birth in India, those who are born in India, they are very fortunate because they have that basic culture of Krishna consciousness. In the first DVD, we hear actually in the second DVD of the following Srila Prabhupada series, Giridhara Swami is remarking about how they were struck with wonder practically seeing the Krishna consciousness of the people when they first arrived. The ladies dressed in saris, the men in dhotis, the names of Krishna on the business signs, cows in the street. There's so many indications of the culture of Krishna consciousness here already in India. So we must be very careful to preserve that culture and work with determination, enthusiasm, and also patience to see that actually happens. And in our own Krishna consciousness, we must also be very patient. There may be reverses in our lives, and sometimes tragic things may happen in our own lives. But we should be very determined to continue to practice our Krishna consciousness, because that really is all there is. There really isn't any alternative. The world makes it seem like there are many alternatives out there. If we're a materialist, there are unlimited opportunities and alternatives. But unless we have the basis of Krishna consciousness, unless we are Krishna conscious, then we need that Krishna consciousness to carry us through. And so that is absolutely the most important thing. There is no alternative. Please don't ever think there is. So thank you very much for your continuing on in Krishna consciousness. It's so inspiring to come back and see all of you. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitha Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivasesha Sunyavani Pustata Desha Tarne. So I feel very grateful and honored to be here amongst so many great Vaishnavas, and especially hearing that there's 150 youth from Pune. That's very enlivening. I had the great fortune of going to the Pune Yatra, and I was just simply amazed at the purity of all the devotees that were there. And of course, they're all very young, but actually that's a good time to begin Krishna consciousness. As Prahlad Maharaj said, who is an old person? It's a person who is about to die. So we can die at any moment. So in that sense, we're all old. So now is the time for Krishna consciousness. And my words can't express how much I was inspired and how much I enjoyed that Pune Yatra. And the level of the devotees there. Just a little story is, after a kirtan, I sat down, and one devotee came up to me and said, Prabhu, please forgive me. I read your watch without your permission. And I was thinking, my God, these devotees are so humble. Actually appreciated that very, very much. And
did you forgive him?
Yes. If anybody wants to read my watch at any time, it's okay. That Thank you very much.
We will have Sankirtan. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasa Digaur Bhaktavrinda.